morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Kel Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. If you're watching on the live stream, you can leave a comment on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Friday. That means Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:33 from the recombobulation area. I have a feeling we will be talking about the Republican National Convention, which is coming to downtown Milwaukee next week. Also, a really interesting article about economic recoveries across the country, and especially in rural areas.
Fantastic.
Which is something that we don't hear about very often. And so we're going to kick that around a little bit when Dan gets here at 10:33. Next hour, looking forward to this. Mike Carlson is the executive director of Gathering Waters. And he's going to tell us all about Wisconsin Land Trust Days.
Yeah, the way you said all of that and you looked at me like, have you heard of it? I'll be honest, I haven't.
I had never heard of it. Calvin, have you ever heard of this? Land Trust Days.
I have not.
No. See, this is why we do this show.
To inform ourselves,
yes.
And you.
Exactly. We all learn things together. There are over 1,800 special places around the state that are part of this land trust. Mm-hmm. And now until September, the end of September, people have a chance to go and visit some of these places that you may not normally have access to. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
So we'll be talking about that at 11:06 with Mike Carlson, the executive director of Gathering Waters. Thought we would change things up just a little bit to start today. Oh, I want to remind you, speaking of the RNC, we will be broadcasting special event coverage every night next week, July 15th through the 18th, and that's going to happen from 7 to 8 p.m. In the meantime, if you want to stay up to date with all the coverage of the RNC, just go to civicmedia.us/RNC, and that will give you updates. Our own Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, will be live on location. Also, we can join Todd Alba. He'll be broadcasting live from the convention for analysis and commentary every weekday from noon until 2 p.m. Todd follows our show from noon to 2. We will be in downtown Milwaukee. We're not going to be at the RNC. We're going to be at Spaces Milwaukee. We have lots of special guests lined up for next week, so I hope you can join us for that. As I mentioned, we're going to start off with something a little bit different. But I think it's important in that this seems to be a growing attitude among Republicans.
Okay.
And these words of wisdom come from none other than one of Wisconsin's most rumpled congressmen, Glenn Grothman.
I'd say the most rumpled.
Is he the most rumpled?
Of all the congressmen?
Just in Wisconsin.
One of the most rumpled in the state, yes. But as far as congressmen go, as far as our seven go,
that number
he's
one.
He's on top of
he's
that
number one.
Crumpled pile of clothing that's rumpled. Call him Rumpelstiltskin if you want to.
Rumpel Grothman.
Rumpel Grothman.
Rumpel Grothman. So okay. Glenn Grothman on the floor of the House yesterday, and he delivered some interesting remarks. Take a listen.
I asked people what's different about today, what are the problems today. I think the number one thing is they feel the breakdown of the family. And when I asked them why they think there was a breakdown of family, maybe they say vaguely a decline in the importance of religion. But actually, there are people who all along wanted to destroy the family. Okay, if you look in the 60s, the feminist movement, Kate Millay, was anti-family.
Yeah.
A goal of the feminist movement was to get the man out of the family.
It was?
Angela Davis, you know, superstar radical during the 60s, one of her goals was to destroy the family.
That was Glenn Grothman. I misspoke. He was not on the floor of the House. He was talking to a podcaster.
Yeah. this is all news to me.
I think it's certainly news to me. And I think it would be news to some of my older sisters who were a little bit more active in the feminist movement. It was never my understanding that the whole goal of the feminist movement was to get rid of men. I thought the whole goal of the feminist movement was, I don't know, radical things like equal pay for the same job, being able to get a credit card or a mortgage without a man signing off on it first.
Existing in the world without being afraid.
Being able to file for divorce if I'm trapped in an abusive marriage.
Yeah.
to me, those were kind of the goals of feminism, not the entire destruction of the family.
Well, two things about this. One, if that was the goal of feminism, they failed. Because as you said, and like, my wife's a feminist, my mother's a feminist, my sister's a feminist. Guess what? Families.
They have families?
Yes. My sister-in-law, feminist. She has a longtime partner. My mother-in-law, she has three children. I'm married to one of them, feminist. So if this whole goal of feminism was to destroy the family, feminism, you bombed at this one.
We failed.
Just failure from start to finish. There are so many families now. It's like there's one in every house, on every block, in every street, in every America.
Everywhere. It's everywhere.
And the other thing, too, is the way he says it is just like, you know, the goal of feminism was like everyone knows this. It's taught in school with the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3.
Right, right.
And I just also have such a problem with him saying the name Angela Davis. I mean, like, tell me what she looks like other than she's a black woman. Pick her out of a lineup of other black women. Tell me anything she's ever written. Anything. Someone said the name Angela Davis to you one day.
Put this in there. Put this in there.
And he's like, Angela Davis, you know, old Angela. Old Angela there, just trying to destroy the family with her feminism and afro. Boy, America is doomed.
We are talking about, I think we've agreed, Wisconsin's most rumpled congressman, Glenn Grothman, making comments yesterday about the goal of feminism was to destroy the family and get men out of the way.
But Jane, it wasn't just feminism. There's someone else trying to destroy the family.
Let's play that second clip, shall we, Calvin?
And of course, then you move up in time. Even the Black Lives Matter movement, the founders of Black Lives Matter, a goal was to destroy the family. Okay, so you'd say, how could the government weigh in to make sure we didn't have two parents in the home? Well, they could do it through programs that began during the Great Society in the 60s and continue to be expanded today, in which you get low-income housing, you get food stamps,
ding, ding, ding.
You get daycare,
ding, ding, ding.
You get cash,
ding, ding, ding.
You get all these things, provided you don't get married to a man with a decent income.
I just want to make sure I understand this.
I'm not laughing at what he said. I am laughing at what he says because this is so stupid.
I'm just trying to absorb all this knowledge.
Don't hurt your lady brain, Jane.
I know. I'll try not to think too hard. Yeah.
If you need me to think for you, a man.
Would you explain it
for me? Absolutely.
So the whole goal of Black Lives Matter was to destroy the family so they can get subsidized housing? Did I follow that correctly?
The goal of feminism is to destroy the family. And to keep that going, they invented programs like, you know, low-income housing and which I think he means like assistance money.
Right.
Used to be known as welfare. They invented those things to keep women from marrying a man with a good income. Now, here's a really just anyone listening. We've talked about this before. Average pay for a congressman in America, it's $174,000.
Not a bad salary.
That's a great salary. Mm. That's a man with a good income. Let's talk to Glenn Grothman's wife about, that's right. He's not married at all.
Tom from LA texting in. Yes, Glenn does not have a wife.
No, he's not. He is not you know why? It's because all those feminist women just won't marry him because his income will take away their free houses and cash and assistance. He's trying to make America great again, and feminism is just trying to ruin it. And also, on a serious note, the Black Lives Matter movement was started by three queer black women. And then you're talking about programs that, when Republicans discuss them, are generally hooked to people of color. So this is nothing but a sexist, racist dog whistle from start to finish. And you can't change my mind because I am not wrong on this. He's attributing all the negativities that the Republican Party attribute to people of color. And then they never say it. They say things like poor people. They say things like, they use whatever dog whistling terms they want to use. Takers, moochers,
yes.
Welfare queens. But what they're really saying, and he's saying right here, he's saying that the feminist movement and the Black Lives Matter movement is trying to destroy the American family. You don't have to go far to put these pieces together. And it's disgusting to listen to. because it's also hypocritical. He does not have a family.
Not doing his part to supply workers.
Yeah. Why don't you find one of these women on one of these great society programs and rescue her out of squalor with your decent pay and American values?
Aren't there specifically right-wing dating sites?
Too many to name now.
I think maybe one of Glenn's friends should set up a profile for him.
Yes.
Get him out there.
I mean, one would only have to go as far as Twitter to find plenty of pictures of him. And what's great is that they can crop the people out because he stands so far away from people when he goes to pancake breakfast. He is the most rumpled congressman and the world's most awkward picture taker.
855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, text her on WISS in Oshkosh. I can't believe how ridiculous Glenn Grothman is. I've never been a fan, but hearing this audio makes me want to drive right off the road. Don't do that, please.
Yeah.
What a piece of garbage.
He and Scott Fitzgerald were two guys who just basically got their congressional seats handed to them. They were in the state house doing nothing special, if anything, causing more problems than they're worth. And then when the guys who were in the office stepped away and they were done, Sensenbrenner was gone. And I can't remember who the other guy was at this moment, but they were just like, there you go. They're yours now. You get to have them. They didn't have to fight for them. They didn't have to really have a platform.
Or work for it.
Exactly. And they'll never get voted out of those offices as long as they want to sit in them.
Even with the changed maps?
No. Not, well, it's congressional maps. So.
Oh, that's right.
So it's, they get to go, I mean, Grothman more than Fitzgerald, but Grothman gets just to say crazy stuff all the time. Exactly. I totally agree with that sentiment from the music, Calvin.
We're going to keep this going. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join us, the goal of feminism, destroy the family. Ladies, we got work to do. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. If you're watching in the live stream, leave a comment on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Reminder, tomorrow morning at 8 until noon, I'm going to be out along with David at the Waukesha Farmers Market. Looking forward to it. It's in the parking lot of the Waukesha State Bank in downtown Waukesha, right along the river. It's a great farmers market. It's going to start getting steamy a little bit later in the day.
Yeah.
So if you want to come out, again, 8 to noon, but you may want to stop out a little bit earlier before that humidity really starts to kick up, because you can feel it in the air already today.
Folks, yesterday we had Brittany Merlot on, and we just want to remind you that Jane just said it now. It's going to be a warm one. It's going to be hot, steamy, humid. Keep those windows cracked. Keep the pets inside.
Yes.
Stay hydrated. Yes. Stay inside if you can. And also, most importantly, I think, if you know elderly people who are on their own, check in on them, visit them, make sure they're doing okay, because these can be dangerous times for them. So just be aware of that this weekend. And it's only going to get hotter throughout next week.
Yeah, it's going to be a scorcher. So please be careful. If you're just joining us, we were talking, switching things up a little bit, about Wisconsin's rumpliest congressman, Glenn Grothman, making comments about feminism and the goal of feminism. Calvin, I think it's worth that we hear that clip, that first one more time, please.
I ask people what's different about today, what are the problems today. I think the number one thing is they feel the breakdown of the family. And when I ask them why they think there was a breakdown of family, maybe they say vaguely a decline in the importance of religion, but actually, there are people who all along wanted to destroy the family. Okay, if you look in the 60s, yes, the feminist movement, Kate Millay, was anti-family. A goal of the feminist movement was to get the man out of the family. Angela Davis, you know, superstar radical during the 60s, one of her goals was to destroy the family.
Yeah, I don't think that was the goal of feminism, Glenn. I think the goal of feminism was not to break up families. The goal of feminism was to provide, I don't know, and it's crazy, equal opportunities for women, mm-hmm. equal pay for the same job,
yeah.
the ability to take out a credit card or a loan or buy a house without your dad or some other man in your life signing off for you,
yeah.
the ability to file for divorce so you can get out of a dangerous, unhappy marriage. That was kind of the goal of feminism, at least as I remember it.
Well, you were wrong. There's one other big tell too here. Glenn refers to feminism in a very binary state, and that is, or not binary, one, try to sound smart there. I'm not going to be smart now because I can't think of the word, but basically he's equating that only women are feminists, because the whole point of his argument is that feminism seeks to destroy the family, kick the man out so a woman can go on social programs to get more money, more housing, and more everything on the dime of the taxpayer. I really hate to break it to the rumbled congressman from Wisconsin. Men can be feminists too.
Yes, they can. Their goal is not to get themselves out of the marriage.
No. No, that's not what that goal is. I consider myself a feminist, and I don't want to blow up my family because my family's pretty cool.
Well, and my husband and I had a long talk about this last night and shared some laughs. Because he said, I don't understand how a man cannot acknowledge that there are some women who may be more intelligent than they are. I don't understand how you can not to be ashamed of it.
No.
There's plenty of people who are smarter than me. Even men. That's a joke.
I'm not saying anything right now because there's nowhere I can go with
but
that.
But there are plenty of people who I think are much smarter than I am, and I would never say, well, no, I'm superior because I'm female. And I just am inherently smarter.
Yeah, I think there's definitely like tropes in entertainment where like men can be painted as the dumber of the two. But that's for jokes and whatnot. I personally think, like, my wife is 40 miles smarter than me. My mom is smarter than me. My sister is smarter than me. I've just always been around, I think, smart or smarter people. And I'm not intimidated by them. I'm not. We had this discussion sometimes. I'll be like, oh, I wish I made a little more money to help the bills and whatnot. But my wife makes way more money than I do. And that doesn't intimidate me at all or anger me or make me think like she's a bad woman.
You're just so not alpha.
I know.
You're so not alpha, Greg.
I'm a beta male. I'm like a fish.
And from Chippewa Falls, listening here on WAUK, how did this guy get elected? He scares me with the rest of these people. If there weren't women working, there wouldn't be any families. Yeah. We can't afford at this point to have just one head of one family income. Maybe there's rare exceptions. Jeff Bezos, okay.
Yeah.
But for most middle-class Americans, you can't get by on one salary.
No, and this whole notion that being pushed by them and social media conservative talking heads, they think we can just live in a world where the woman can stay home, have the babies, and the man comes home at 5 o'clock at night, puts his briefcase down, sits at the table with the family. Dinner's ready. She's in 6-inch heels and a dress, and she's been cleaning all day. But that's not the case. And also, if you made it so that that was the case, or you somehow made it impossible for women to get work after having children, the economy would collapse.
Women are a big part of the economy.
Women not working would be a problem.
There's a book called Women Hold Up Half the Sky. That's worth checking out.
Ooh.
Mike from Kenosha is on the line. We only got a couple of minutes left, Mike. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Yeah, I'll make it brief. You know, women didn't even have the right to vote until 1919 or so, I think. And this group of conservatives, they've always been repressive when it comes to women. If you remember, there was a shock jock that called feminism feminazis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they all love that.
So, oh, yeah, they love that.
Yeah, and they think that's real cute, too. They get off on that. Now, you know, so, you know, any woman that leans hard into this Republican chaos, all I have to do is look at history, look at who they are, where they come. You know, I mean, does anybody out there think that it's okay to work at 75 cents on the dollar compared to men? There are just so many hinders that the women have had to endure. Mm-hmm. They even get to this point of close to equality.
Yep.
And I don't think it's equality yet to this day. So, you know, all it is more divide and conquer, smoke and mirrors. And if they're revealing clearly their heart and soul.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Mike. Really appreciate it. We are going to move on because we have news coming up next. And then Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. But we just wanted to share those words of wisdom from Wisconsin's most rumpled Congressman Glenn Grossman on feminism and ruining the family. And ladies, we ought to have a meeting because we're way behind. All right, you're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday at this time next week when we're down near the RNC. We're going to be RNC adjacent.
RNC adjacent,
we're
going to
be
baby.
At Spaces Milwaukee, which is about a quarter mile north of Fiserv Forum. Dan Schaefer is here from the award-winning recombobulation area. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning. It is quite the time to be in the city of Milwaukee. That is for sure. Frankly, a little bit discombobulating. I'm not there yet. You know, it's I don't feel ready. We've been talking about this for years, and all of a sudden, it's just 3 days away from descending upon our wonderful city.
You mean horrible city? Yeah. Your horrible city.
Our horrible, wonderful city. That's right.
I'm curious, what do you all have planned for next week? I know you're joining us on Thursday at 10:30 next week, and then you'll be back for your regular spot on Friday. But what kind of access do you have? Are you going to be everywhere?
Yeah, so I'm still kind of figuring that out a little bit, but I will have credentials to go into Fiserv Forum where the convention's being held. And I think that will get me into, you know, there's kind of the hard zone of the security perimeter and the soft zone of the security perimeter. It's, you know, we're all going to I think it's going to be a little bit of a learning experience as we all get down there and figure things out once things unfold on Monday. You know, there's protests and marches happening beginning as early as Monday morning. There's other stuff happening all over the city starting as early as this weekend with an event called the Great Milwaukee Block Party, which I think is this really, really special community grassroots led initiative that's like a week of counter programming and protest activity and community celebrations that's happening all over town. We had an organizer from that group join us for our live podcast on Wednesday night with the recombobulation area down at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point. Thanks to all of those who might be listening who also were at that event. But yeah, there's just so much to sort through and figure out for what's happening in Milwaukee for the next week. You know, it's going to be weird getting around, you know, the vehicles coming in through these various checkpoints, bus routes getting moved around. So it's going to be quite the experience. It's going to be very interesting to see, you know, how this all unfolds. And part of what I'm really interested in covering, you know, for what my work at the Recombobulation area, you know, there will, of course, be national reporters. I think they're expecting 15,000 members of the media.
Wow.
To be here for the week of the RNC. I think there will be plenty of national reporters giving a lot of the stories on, you know, on what's happening in the RNC, what Trump's VP selection is, how much the Project 2025 stuff is going to be showing up in you know, events and policies and speeches. And
they never
like
heard
that.
They never heard of it, Dan.
Yeah.
They never heard of it. They know nothing about it. They have nothing to do with Project 2025.
You guys
leave it alone.
Talking about this thing. What are you even talking about?
What I've never.
I saw the Heritage Foundation, which is behind this, has major signage up at the Milwaukee airport, which, again, discombobulating for me, of course. but they then they're also sponsoring a whole day event on the first day of the RNC at the Bradley Symphony Center downtown to kick off the convention. So it's really, you know, it is foundational to this convention in so many ways. But I think what I'm going to be looking to do is really examine the, you know, just take a look at the relationship between the city of Milwaukee and the convention and the convention's relationship to the city. You know, obviously I've done a lot of reporting about, you know, just the kind of lackluster level of activity, the uncertainty that a lot of people, a lot of downtown businesses are experiencing in the run-up to this. So I'm really interested to see, you know, how this unfolds, you know, as we take a look at as this descends upon Milwaukee and the region and wherever else going forward.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area, and we're talking about next week's Republican National Convention coming to downtown Milwaukee. Are you able to bike from where you live or walk from where you live? I'm curious how you plan to get around next week.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna make use of the bubbler bikes here in Milwaukee on certain occasions. That's for sure. But I'm in a part of the city that is, I'm right on a couple bus lines that head right downtown.
Nice.
So I'm not going to mess with trying to park or drive into the security perimeter or anything like that. So I'm going to be taking the bus, from my place on the west side of Milwaukee, downtown. And now I know most of the bus routes can't go, you know, directly. Like when I go to Bucks games, I take a bus route and it takes me right to the door of the Fiserv Forum. That, of course, will not be the case for this one. Have to hoof it a little bit. I'm expecting a lot of walking this week. You know, I looked at the weather this morning and we've got a couple 90 degree days to start out the week.
It's going to be really, really hot.
Yeah.
Yep. It's going to be really
when
hot.
That'll be nothing like when they were here for the debate last year. I don't remember if you guys, I saw some civic media folks downtown for the debate last year. I'm not sure if you guys were part of that group or not, but, it was like 100 degrees for that debate and nobody was outside. Everybody was just running from, you know, from a bar to the forum or whatever it might be. There was like this concert outside of Fiserv Forum and there was like 10 people, you know, in attendance while they were getting ready for the debate.
That poor band.
I remember that day. I remember that day. I saw you at the place we were at. We were across the street from the Fiserv and being inside just felt good and comfy. And the moment you walked outside, you just hit you. And you're like, I can't do this right now. It was so gross.
We talked about this a little bit earlier, Dan, before you joined us, though. And quite seriously, it's very important that you stay hydrated.
Yes.
It's really important that you don't overextend yourself. Heat stroke is a real thing. Mm-hmm. You don't want it.
You don't even want heat exhaustion.
You don't want heat exhaustion either. So be careful. Pace yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, drink lots of water. Leave your tennis balls at home.
Yes.
Yes. That's
no
right.
Tennis balls.
Lots of water. Can't bring those tennis balls. I don't know. That's just the rules here. I'm still trying to, I'm discombobulated by the rules for what I can and can't.
Well, and I think it's interesting too, because this is certainly a novel event for Milwaukee and I've never been to an event like this. And it does seem kind of murky as far as how many levels of clearance do you need to get to the next place? You know what I mean? This will get you this far into the soft zone. This will get you this far. This will get you this far. So it's going to be an interesting learning curve. And as far as parking goes, and I haven't looked all that closely at the security perimeter, but you're going to be hoofing it a ways if you have to park and walk.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the, well, because I was downtown the other day and was noticing that they were already putting up like kind of the red, no parking over the parking, most of the parking meters downtown. So there's like basically going to be no street parking, I think, anywhere downtown, anywhere near the security perimeter for the week. And, you know, I think this is, there's plenty of lots, those the parking garages and things like that, that people will be able to access. But yeah, I'm going to be public transit and hoofing it and bubbler bikes and, whatever else. So it's going to be an experience. That's
look,
for sure.
Look
and
for
and I've been looking through the list of, you know, the RNC events, you know, that are planned. There are a number of them that are like open to press, some that are not open to press. I'm wondering, have you guys taken a look at this master calendar, that they have for events?
No.
You know, it starts with like on Monday, the Heritage Foundation hosting at the Bradley Symphony Center for the whole day. You know, and it's just like this bizarre collection of sentences where you have the Utah Republican Party will host a Utah welcome reception at the best place at the historic Pabst Brewery. And just like all of these different, you know, bizarre, you know, just kind of niche type of events. You know, their RNC is holding its official convention watch party at the Drink Wisconsinably Pub every day. The Reagan movie will be hosting a screening at the Pfister Hotel. Republican Lawyers Association holding a reception, you know, just all these different things. Like, and I think the juxtaposition of that is going to be interesting to me. Just like having, you know, been a resident of the city of Milwaukee, and it's just like, oh, this is a place where I went for this event, and this is where I watched the Bucks win the 2021 NBA Finals. You know, right in the space in the Deer District, where the same place on the same day. Where the Bucks, you know, won the finals 3 years ago and on July 14th, won a finals game in Milwaukee. There will be the kickoff events happening for the RNC. So just I think the juxtaposition of that is going to be really interesting to kind of examine, too.
You you mentioned the Utah contingency that's having this welcome party. And I don't know if you heard from earlier this week, one of the delegates from Utah was not happy at all when they were discussing the platform and essentially locked everybody out of it, didn't allow any discussion, didn't allow any breakout committees, and then essentially removed the whole pro-life platform that they've been running with for 50 years. She was, her name was Gail. She was not happy.
Yeah. That, and I think there's a number of things on, you know, that party platform, which was just like a list of like all caps, you know, Trump tweets, basically.
Yeah, about, like, that is exactly what it is.
And so it's just like, you know, it's not only like the abortion rights issue, they're definitely trying to run from what their policy has been for like basically all of our entire lives. But they're running from that. It's also a lot of like protectionist type of economic policy as well, where it's just like we're going to have huge tariffs and stuff like that. So all of the free market concern, you know, it's the party of free markets and limited government. And we have, you know, so many examples of how their platform is now the opposite of that. Are those free market conservatives are going to be running away with any of this? That's going to be interesting to see, too.
Well, and I think they should just call themselves the runaway party now, because they can't back away fast enough from this stuff that has been their rock base for decades. They can't back away from Project 2025 fast enough. They're all trying to back away from these complete abortion bans. Republican politicians are pulling all that stuff from their websites. It's like, wait, I don't want to talk about that.
There's one way to describe this party. Cal?
I mean, you may as well just own it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love that the Heritage Foundation is now the big sponsor for all of these things. The Heritage Foundation, the lead organization behind Project 2025 that no one has ever heard of.
Andrew from Maine right there said, he goes, the RNC has never heard anything about their sponsor, the Heritage Foundation.
Who?
I don't know.
Who?
No idea.
I never heard of these people.
Smoke bomb. Bro, run away.
The other question I have real quickly for you, Dan, do me a favor. I want to, are the merch tables going to be, I mean, are all the independent vendors going to be set up near Fiserv or somewhere within the perimeter?
Oh, I'm going to be looking for that as well, because I think it's going to be a great opportunity for, I saw a really funny story about that and talking about other, you know, Trump related events with the people who are selling the merchandise and just saying, hey, if, I don't like the guy, but if they're going to pay $60 for a t-shirt, like, let's go. I will be documenting these things as well as I can. I might actually go get a new phone today so I can really dig in and have, can really document what's in front.
Well, I think it would be an interesting comparison between the merch that is sold at the Trump event and the merch that is going to be sold at the DNC. I'm sure at the DNC, they're going to have a whole bunch of Fabio knockoff shirtless pictures of Joe Biden, because that's what you do.
It's going to be, in my head, it's nothing's ever better than the state fair. When you walk into the t-shirt tents and it's always like, you know, make America great again, Joe's my guy, and then like they don't care, they want money,
they want to sell a shirt. Yeah. Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area. We will continue right after this. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is here from the award-winning Recombobulation Area. He joins us every Friday at this time. We were talking about the RNC, Republican National Convention, landing in Milwaukee. Things are going to get started this weekend. And a reminder as well, we got baseball tonight. Brewers hosting the Nationals at 6:35. You can catch the game on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, or on WRJN in Racine, 99.9 FM, 1400 AM, and in Kenosha, 98.1. The Crew hosting the Nationals tonight with a 6:35 broadcast start. We were talking about getting into the RNC and what's involved with that. Peter in Waukesha County texting in, everyone can get into the soft zone as long as they are on foot or on bicycle. Nobody gets into the hard zone without appropriate credentials.
That is...
Well, that's helpful. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Also, rename those zones. It just sounds weird.
The hard zone, the soft zone?
Yes.
What, you want the what? Squishy? What would make you happy?
General zone, private zone. I don't know. Just the hard zone and the soft zone?
I think they have bigger considerations than
they're too busy trying to take away our rights.
Well,
the red zone, the blue zone, the red, white, and blue zone.
Exactly. That, the white zone is for loading and offloading.
The purple zone. Oh, there's kind of all kinds of possibilities there. We did want to talk about this briefly, Dan. We don't have a whole bunch of time, and I'm sure we will come back and talk about this again. But I saw this report from the Economic Innovation Group, which says economic renaissance left behind counties are seeing a boom in jobs and businesses. This is not something we ever, ever hear.
No. For basically all of the 21st century, that's kind of part of what this study was looking at. That you sent to me earlier this week, Jane, saying, talking about these, kind of left behind counties. These are places that I think the definition of it was like either population, no growth or depopulation,
yep,
and then economically no growth or degrowth type of situation. And for basically from the first 20 years of this century, these are places that were in decline. And what this study shows, and there was also a New York Times story that went along with it. The New York Times story is called A Remarkable Comeback. It just shows how many of these, you know, disadvantaged, forgotten, quote unquote, left behind counties are starting to see a renaissance. And it is places that have had, you know, the story says they are largely concentrated in the Southeast and the Midwest. And if you look through the study, I think Michigan has the highest number of these counties, followed by Wisconsin and Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And so you think of the political implications of those three particular states. You look at these rebounds in a lot of these different counties. I think it's really important that we talk about this, because obviously the Great Recession, after 8 years of a Republican president with George W. Bush, the Great Recession really decimated so many of these places. And part of what, you know, Trump was running on in 2016 was trying to speak to these, you know, forgotten types of places. And he of course did not deliver on any of those promises during his presidency, because he was a horrible president, and he governed like every other, you know, Republican politician who caters to the wealthy. But in the last 4 years, while Joe Biden has been president, we've seen really significant gains for a lot of these types of places, and seeing growth that we hadn't really seen ever before. And that, you know, I'm going to quote from the New York Times story here, where it says, quote, "The turnaround has shocked experts. Quote, this is the kind of thing that we wouldn't have even dreamed about 5 or 6 years ago." And so this is, I think, a really big deal. And I think there's been a number of other economic indicators over the past week, in particular, talking about wage growth, talking about inflation going down, talking about the continued overall, you know, economic might compared to the rest of the world. America has the strongest economy in the world right now. And I think this is, you know, you have to look at some of the initiatives that have been put in place by the Biden administration to help turn a lot of these places around. We're seeing record investment in manufacturing across the country as well. And so I think, you know, there's a pretty clear policy distinction, policy divide to be looked at here with stories like this.
August Benzo is the author of this article from Economic Innovation Group, and we'll include this link in our show notes after the show is over. Between 2020 and 2023, jobs in left-behind counties grew more than four times faster than in the previous 4 years, and almost half of those have already regained all the jobs they lost during the downturn after COVID. And this is purely speculation on my part, but I think about the way that Governor Evers handled the federal money that came in, and his focus on small businesses and Main Street businesses, which I would imagine are in quite a few of these left behind counties. So that has had a direct positive impact.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you think about where those are, you know, the federal investments making their way to the states, making their way to, you know, I think Evers really prioritized economic development and small business in their COVID response. And I think, you know, you look at the types of things like the tech hub that was just recently announced that came through the CHIPS and Science Act, the investments that are being made through the bipartisan infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act. And I think, you know, it can take some time for these big pieces of legislation to start producing results. But now we are starting to see kind of the first wave of what some of those results are of those policy decisions. And it is overwhelmingly positive.
Yep.
And I think that is an important thing for us to be talking about right now, too.
Keep that in mind as you head to the polls, certainly August 13th. And if you would like to see Robin Voss and the Wisconsin Republicans sit on more federal money and not do anything with it, then vote for those two amendments that are going to be on the August ballot. And then think about this, too, when you head into the polls in November, and take a look at some of the actual facts about who handles the economy better, and the American economies under Democratic versus Republican administrations. It's a big difference. Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday at this time. We're going to see him next week on Thursday, a special edition of the Recombobulation Area. Thanks so much, Dan. We'll see you next week. Stay with us. News is coming up next. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.